Hi, guys. Welcome to the Dominion Women's Health Podcast. We're still trying to think of a name. Maybe today we'll be lucky. Bree will tell us. We're honored to have Bree Clark, who's a nurse practitioner slash mother of two, join us today. And we're going to be talking about postpartum depression. What are some of the signs, the symptoms, what women go through, and maybe even get into a little bit of personal history with Bree and how she managed with postpartum depression and what patients need to look at. Welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
She looks good. She's always looks good.
Thanks. You're so sweet.
So I want to talk about postpartum depression because I think that in this country, a lot of stuff when it comes to women's health, and if you listen to some of the podcasts, I'm always harping on women's health is always on the back burner in this country. And people tend to ignore it. And if you think about it, postpartum depression probably happens at least 10 to 15% of all deliveries.
I was reading some statistics last night online, and I think there's around 4 million births in the U.S. a year. And it was one in seven women suffer with postpartum depression. But that doesn't even account for the women that have stillbirth and miscarriages. So that's even more.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
But some of it is not even diagnosed because I feel like a lot of women probably do suffer in silence with it.
I think you're right. And I think that also what my experience in the 20 years in OBGYN is some women, especially the ones that are going through postpartum depression, feel ashamed to talk about it.
Yeah.
Especially with your first child.
Yeah.
You don't want to let anyone down.
Yeah. You don't want to feel defeated. It's exciting. And then you just don't want anyone to know. So you keep it silent and a lot of suffering.
And do you feel like there's a big difference between postpartum blues and depression? Has anyone ever talked to you about it? Or I know that you know a lot about this because of personal experience.
Yeah. And I think when I was a nurse, like, you know, I knew what it was. I think women that go through prenatal care and they have no idea the difference or what it is, they don't know what to expect. So I think patient education is definitely needed in this area. The baby blues, you know, I feel like, you know, it's like 2 weeks of being like emotional. It could last longer, but usually it kind of goes away on its own. You have fear, excitement, you're emotional, change in hormones, which I think all women usually experience that the first couple weeks after delivery. But the depression, I think, is a little bit more severe. But, you know, it can range depending on the women and their symptoms, and it can last longer.
And I agree. The one thing that patients ask me all the time is they talk about, like, why me or who's susceptible to it? And I tell them all the time, I go, it could be anyone. And anyone that tells you they don't go through postpartum blues is really lying or ignoring their own emotions. It's when you go from that 2 weeks of postpartum blues into the depression. And it's hard. It's really hard. And it takes, I always tell my patients, and you know, I've spoken about it with you. It takes a big person to say, I think I need help.
Yeah.
I think something's going on. And I always like joke about it after we've treated it and everything's gone, that it's my type A personality.
Yep.
Because you don't want to admit, hey, I think I can't handle this.
Exactly. I think that was my biggest problem. You know, a lot of patients or, you know, women, they have postpartum. And I think usually it happens in what, the first year after delivery?
Yep.
And for me, it was, you know, you have the postpartum blues and, you know, it's exciting and new birth, new baby. And, but mine hit me later on. It was about 7 months after my son was born. But type A personality, something was taken out of my control. And that's when I noticed the change.
And a lot of times too, and I can't remember exactly our conversations, but I know that a lot of times when it's addressed, then we start to talk about what are the treatments. And some of the treatments are like the cognitive behavioral therapy, having the family support. But a big thing is the serotonin inhibitors, the mm-hmm. antidepressants, which bring some of those symptoms down. And a lot of patients, as soon as you bring up an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety medicine, it's like, no way.
Yeah.
You're not putting me on that medicine. And I think that that's one of the hardest things to grasp and say, I think I might need it for a little while. Did you feel that way?
I was hesitant because, you know, I'm type A. I like to be in control. You know, you read about the side effects. And also, if you're nursing, you know, a lot of women don't want to take anything. But I definitely needed something. And I knew when I got to that point that I've got to give it a shot. And not that you have to be on it forever, because you don't. But it did definitely get me through and help me. And I'm glad I did take the medication.
And I try to explain to a lot of patients is when we start this medication, it's not going to be a lifelong process. So we talk about like, what are the symptoms? Sometimes it's 3 months, sometimes it's 6 months that you're on the medication. But then also we start going through like history. You weren't in this category, but we talk about like, hey, did you used to have PMDD? Did you have right before your cycle, you got really depressed or anxious? And patients will go, yeah, you know what? My husband would say something about, and that's where we start looking into the hormonal effects of the depression and the estrogen withdrawal, because right before your cycles, your mm-hmm. estrogen drops. Where when you're pregnant, you feel like you're on cloud nine, yep. you're going 100 miles an hour. Well, guess what? Your estrogen's through the roof.
Yeah.
But guess as soon as that baby comes out and your estrogen and progesterone bottom out, that's where we see the big changes. One of the other treatments that we tend to talk about is going on birth control.
Yeah.
Just leveling off your estrogen and progesterone.
Yeah, and I think that was an option we talked about also. Oh. Which I think definitely with the hormonal drop is where I saw a lot of change. It was when I stopped breastfeeding.
Yep. Let me ask you a question. Did you notice a difference between the first pregnancy and the second pregnancy with your postpartum depression?
A big difference. I think I kind of had prepared myself, like, I don't want to go through this again, which I think a lot of women probably fear, like, getting pregnant again and going through that again. But I was very aware of it the second time around. Also, with the second child, I was a little bit more busier. But I also kept myself on a routine with the kids, kept my mind busy. I went to the gym. I took time for myself. I knew I had medication if I needed it. But the big change with that also is, like, you know, I had a mom group. We met every week and had dinner with the kids. And my husband was very aware of it also. I think he kind of checked in a little bit more the second time just to make sure everything was okay. But that's how I got through the second one, which I didn't have, honestly. I may have had some days where, you know, things were a little rough or I didn't feel that great, but I didn't have it as bad as the first one.
And I like that you had that, because that's what, I mean, if you do the research and you talk to your provider and physician, I mean, the whole behavioral therapy and the family support sometimes can work a lot better than being on any form of medication, because you have that support. And I like how you and I addressed the second pregnancy and you were aware of what was potentially going to happen.
Yes.
Because one of the lines that I use with my patients is, you got to be really careful that postpartum depression gets worse with every single pregnancy. And if you don't address it the first time, you don't address it the second time, you can have disastrous things occur. I mean, we both have seen the literature on women who have driven their car into a lake with their kids, who have abandoned their...
Yeah.
And people say, and this is what I hate about the media, and I can't stand it sometimes, is they say, oh, this woman, how can a woman do this to her child? Well, do you understand what a person's really going through?
Yeah.
And it's nice. I mean, definitely you were blessed. You had a great family support network. You had your friends that supported you. Your husband was aware, especially with the second pregnancy. I think the first, he was like shell-shocked with just having a baby.
Yeah, it was a big change, which also I think has a lot to do with it too. You know, a new baby, and this is all new to us. Our family's changed, and but we got through it, and I'm glad that I had you to guide me.
Thank you.
So.
Well, and I think that that's the important thing in healthcare in this day and time. You start hearing about, like, oh, these practices are using more of hospitalist, or they're not taking hands-on care with their patients. And I think that's the most important thing, is building that rapport with your provider, knowing each other's personalities. And I think that's the one thing that we're blessed in this practice, in the fact that our patients know their provider. They know exactly what's going on, who's going to take care of them. And a lot of times, I mean, we laugh and joke, but it makes a big difference.
It does.
It makes a huge difference versus showing up to the hospital in the middle of the night and having someone you don't even know take care of you. Or, God forbid, you're having postpartum blues or depression, and you come in and you get put with a different provider and a different, and then next thing you know, we're chasing our tail.
Yeah. And then you're not comfortable with discussing it with someone you don't know. So it was nice because, you know, you knew my personality and you kind of knew my husband. And second time around, you definitely knew you were kind of on a watch also, which was
I think,
very
well, we
nice.
All three of us were on a watch.
Yeah.
He was on a watch. Yeah. You were on a watch. But I have to admit, with her husband, once I got to know him well, we started talking about other things, like cutting trees down.
But that's okay. That means, you know, that's their...
It's closeness and
bonding.
So I think we'll finishing this off in regards to talking about postpartum depression. And the one thing that people don't talk about, it goes from postpartum blues to postpartum depression to psychosis. And psychosis is the worst case scenario. And have I ever seen that? Yes, I've seen it twice in my whole career, once in practice and once in residency. And I remember once in residency, it was an amazing couple, but they were both of Indian background, highly educated. And his wife had a girl, and his parents had come from India. And it was, going back to what you were saying, it was a late onset depression.
Yeah.
I mean, this is 4 months later, and his wife locked herself in the room and thought someone was going to try to kill her baby because it was a girl.
Yeah.
And it was sad. I mean, she got put in a hospital, but everything worked out. So the second pregnancy, I remember she was on medication from the second trimester on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing that people tend to forget, is you got to look at, I mean, we talk about postpartum depression and postpartum blues and psychosis, but you got to look at some of the aggravating factors.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to look at family background, like especially in cultures where you have, let's say, someone marrying someone outside of their culture and having those in-laws and the parents coming at you. Because I tell you what, I remember when we had our first and we moved back to Virginia from New York, my wife was 2 days postpartum and we're driving in a minivan.
Oh, wow.
And we're stopping for her to breastfeed. And I remember coming in, we stayed with my parents for the first month until we moved into our house. And I remember coming in one day and she's bawling in tears. And there's like four elderly women sitting in the room with her, and each one's trying to grab her breast to show her how to breastfeed. And she's like mortified. So I'm sitting there going, oh my God. But a lot of it's cultural too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what we talked about earlier, is that sometimes you're embarrassed to talk about it because then people think less of you.
Or they think you're crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want anyone to think, you know, you're a new mom, you can't handle this, you know. So, yeah,
I think it's a big thing. I mean, I think I have more respect for women who present and discuss it than someone who's just scared to death or they're being intimidated. And that's the big thing. And that's what I tell a lot of the mid-levels that work for us, the nurse practitioners and midwives, is you got to build this rapport with your patient. Know everything that you can about them. They know about you so that you feel comfortable discussing things versus living in a healthcare system that we have in this country where we treat symptoms instead of the disease. Yeah. We talk about it all the time. I mean, stop trying to think that someone's crazy. Let's figure out what was the aggravating factor.
Yeah.
Correct. Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning into our podcast, and I want to thank Bree for being here.
Thank you.
She's an amazing woman. I'm trying to convince her on the third, by the way. So, and if any questions are that you might have, please feel free to reach out to us, and we'll answer them on our next podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.